I've noticed that David Olive is joining us for today. David, you might wish to explain why that is. My understanding is so that you can hear our discussions on the work plan and the CCNSO review.
Thank you, Leslie. Generally, I like to sit in on various council meetings of the SOs and ACs, depending on the time frame. And so, yes, because of the plan and your agenda today, I thought I would just sit in and not disturb you any more than that.
Thank you, David.
And thank you for welcoming me.
And just to check with the council, can I assume that everybody is comfortable with David joining this call? Obviously, if there's something during the agenda that you think it wouldn't be appropriate for him to hear at the time, obviously you could indicate that should that unlikely eventuality take place. Can I just check nobody has any objections? Okay, thank you very much. I'll take that as we're okay with that and welcome, David. Apologies for this call. I think I only have apologies from Dottie so far.
Yes, and Patricia might join a little bit late.
Indeed. Okay, thank you. So let's just move on then. So the first item on the call is the confirmation, and it's on the 12th of April, which have already been circulated by the ever-efficient Gabby and Christina by email. Can I have any comments as regards the accuracy of those minutes first, please?
This is Hiro.
Hi, Hiro.
Hi. Yes, I have a comment on the apologies list.
Mm-hmm.
If my memory is correct, Byron was absent, but his absence was already known before the call, so I believe it means Byron should be on the list of apologies.
Hiro, as far as I recall, we didn't have an apology from Byron, actually.
Oh, really?
No, I had it scheduled incorrectly for one day later, so I didn't do it in advance.
Okay.
I wasn't going to say that. Up to you to own up.
Yeah, no, I it was all my fault. I was actually on holiday and I just missed it by 24 hours. But I was on the call by myself the next day.
And we did receive your apologies afterwards, but not technically at that meeting. Okay, anything else on the minutes, please, in terms of their accuracy?
No, I think they're fine. They're
very
good.
Much, Rollo.
Yep.
Okay, so let's move on then to the actions arising. Gabby and Bart, could you take us through the actions, please?
Gabby?
Yeah, Leslie, I'm not sure. Do you want me to go through every action or just the ones that are outstanding?
I think let's go through every action so at least we can, particularly for those that weren't on the call, we know where we are at the start of this call. That would be helpful.
Okay. Action 6201, Bart Boswinkle to ask Jörg Schweiger to give a presentation about the incident response working group recommendations at the Singapore meeting. Bart? Action 6202, the chair to contact the GAC chair, Heather Dryden, to discuss the GAC's involvement in the framework of interpretation working group.
That was done.
Action 6203, Keith Davidson, Johanna Euselius, and Patricia Poblete to liaise with respective regional organizations to seek involvement from the regional organizations in the meetings program working group. Bart?
Yeah, I've sent an email as a reminder. Maybe the individual council members can respond.
Okay, since my name's first, Keith here, no action from me yet. APTLD are meeting, board meeting tomorrow night, and it's on the agenda for that.
Thank you, Keith. Johanny?
Well, there is obviously something to do still left.
Does that mean it's in progress?
Johanny?
Sorry, Johanny, I just couldn't quite catch what you said. I think you meant that was in progress?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So it's very bad line here.
Thank you. And Patricio is joining us later on the call, but I think he had said that that was also in progress from his point of view.
Yeah, at the next LACFIELDI meeting in Cancun.
Okay, so if we can note there's still a bit more to do on that action point, and obviously, Gabby, if you can chase the council's concern, that would be appreciated.
Okay, I'll do that. Next action is 6204, Bart Boswinkel to contact the Finance Working Group Chair, Byron Holland, in order to set up a Finance Working Group conference call.
Byron, I think we tried, but we still have to do it effectively.
Okay, so the
sorry about that, I was on mute. We haven't scheduled we haven't found a date yet, but
okay.
We will be doing that very shortly.
Thank you. So the action has been done, but we've not yet got a date, yeah?
Yep.
Correct. We have not picked a date.
Thank you. Next one, Gary.
Action 6205, the Chair and Secretary to discuss the paper on options for a closed section on the CCNSO website. That's done. It's attached to the information material that was sent. Action 6206, the Chair and Keith to contact GAC Chair Heather Dryden in order to discuss the reactivation of the GAC CCNSO Liaison Working Group.
That's still in progress, is my understanding, Keith.
Correct. I've emailed the Chair twice and no response as yet.
I do know she had a long holiday and is only really just getting back into the driving seat. So that's the reason for that small delay.
Sure, and Keith, it's Byron. If you want any help on that, let me know because I do interact with her pretty regularly.
Okay. No, I was aware she was on leave, and I figured she'd be in catch-up mode since she's been back for the last week and a half or so. So I'll follow up. I think the issue arising from that is not so much any urgency other than the GAC-CCNSO joint meeting in Singapore, for which with no agenda and no discussion on at this stage, but I'll follow it up.
Thank you, Keith. I mean, that was indeed the immediate urgency, but there was also the need to decide how we were going to work going forward too, wasn't there?
Sure.
Okay, we'll leave that in your capable hands to follow up with Heather with Byron's assistant.
Thank you.
Okay, the last action is 6207. The Chair to contact GNSO Chair Stefan van Gelder to discuss the process for approving joint working group reports.
I have indeed been in contact with Stefan and we've agreed that
transfer.
We'll work on that. Okay, thank you.
The joys of teleconferencing. Are we still all here, Gabby?
I'm sorry?
You're here still?
I'm here still, yes.
I got a musical intermezzo. Did you get the same?
We just got a tone.
Oh, so I'm the
lucky. You're privileged.
I'm hoping that everyone is still here. I was just partway through, obviously, a very controversial item. Explaining that I have been in contact with Stefan and there is some joint work to do around joint working groups between the GNSO and the CCNSO, but I guess also between any SO joint working group as to how the reports are dealt with and approved, etc. So that is an open item between us and we will have some further discussions on that.
These were all actions.
Okay. Thank
and
you.
I have a message that Patricia has joined for information.
Thank you, Gabby. Welcome, Patricia. You haven't missed a great deal. We've just done the minutes and actions. Anything else from anybody?
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Patricia. Anything else from anybody on our call in April then before we move on?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you very much. So if we move on to item 2 on the agenda, the high-level debriefing on CCNSO-related activities, For those of you that weren't on the call last month, this is a new feature of our agenda that we're trialing, where from the chair and vice chairs and councillors, we update each other on CCNSO related discussions, meetings, calls, or whatever in between our conference calls, really so that we can address the point that we identified in the review of responsibilities, where it wasn't very clear the activity that was going on from some of the roles. So I guess if I can just start from my point of view as a chair's report back. You'll recall that on the last call I was in Washington, and I took the opportunity whilst I was there to meet with Becky as the first of a series of meetings with each of you to talk about your engagement in the CCNSO Council work. And Becky very kindly volunteered to help not only with the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, which is later on our agenda, but also to help us with drafting CCNSO responses. So I think holding the pen was the phrase that Becky volunteered for, and for that, thank you very much, Becky.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Whilst I was there, I was also able to meet with the NTIA as trailed during the call, and at that stage, they were very much collating the inputs that they'd had on the IANA NOI, and wanted to note that they were very grateful to have received comments both from the CCNSO and also from a number of individual CCTLDs, and as one might hope, they view us as very important IANA customers. My Washington week continued with a visit to New Star. Fernando, you'll recall, where very helpfully, of course, Jeff Newman, who's involved as a GNSO Vice Chair, Fernando and I were able to discuss just a few things regarding the CCNSO, and particularly the working between the GNSO and CCNSO, out of which came the idea of a Vice Chair call before the Singapore meeting that I think we're now trying to organise. And apart from the Washington trip, as Gabby and Bart will be aware, there seems to have been rather a lot of email exchanges and work plan discussions, and Bart and I are also meeting this week, but Bart very kindly is coming over to the UK so that we can have a session looking at work plan as well. That's the overview, I guess, of my activity in between April and today. Byron, do you want to lead off as Vice Chair and then Hiro to follow?
Sure. My schedule is not nearly so exciting as that one. So other than participating in some of the email exchanges and review of the work plan itself, I do not have, been engaged in any other outside meetings or CCNSO-related meetings in the past month.
Thank you, Byron. Hiro?
Yes. I chair the IDN CCPDP Working Group 2 call on April 14th. So how to deal with one vote per territory issue on the Working Group 2 report is still under discussion. And another item, on April 19th, I participated in the program Working Group conference call. Following the result of the call, I'm liaising APTLD to seek a panelist from AP region who will talk about the impact of GeoGTLDs, for example, South Asia, on CCTLDs in AP region. That's all.
That's excellent. Thank you, Hiro. And any other councillors, please?
I think that the Geographic Names Working Group has now scheduled its first call.
Thank you, Becky.
Tomorrow morning.
Right. And you're involved with preparing for that, I assume.
Leslie, this is Roloff. I haven't been doing anything on CCNSO side since the last call we had.
But obviously, we will most definitely try to find you something to do then, Roloff.
Well, I think you've got me quite a list of things to do, but they will probably
be
at the same time, something like that.
Thank you, Roloff.
This is Yangon?
Yes?
Yes. After the program working group tomorrow, I think, which is going to be tomorrow, there's going to be also a country names working group meeting tomorrow.
Right. Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello, this is...
Sorry, was that Carlos?
Yes, it's Carlos. Maybe just one item.
Yes.
Okay. I think the three councillors from Africa, they were participating in the AFTLD annual meeting in Ghana between 18 and 22 April. So we had CCTLDs from Africa in the event.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Paula. Anyone else? Last call.
Keith here. Just on the framework of interpretation working group, we've been having some conversations between Bernie, Bart and myself and Becky. I think three times we've met just to finesse the work plan and prepare for when the working group members are appointed.
Okay, thank you, Keith. That's a nice trail to the item later on the agenda. Anyone else? Okay, thank you.
Hi, Leslie. Han Chuan here.
Yeah.
Hello. Hi, Leslie. Han Chuan here.
Hello, Han Chuan.
Hi. Hi. Yes, I thought to let all the councillors know that the regional IGF meeting will be held in Singapore from the 16th to the 17th of June. There is actually the Thursday and the Friday before the ICANN meeting. So for councillors that are planning to attend the ICANN meeting in Singapore, you may want to, you know, extend your trip and come earlier for the regional IGF meeting if you're interested.
That's very useful. Thank you, Han Chuan. Final call. Okay, let's move on. Thank you for that. So the next item on the agenda is the letter that I have received from Rod, the CEO of ICANN, on the continuity stroke crisis communication strategy. This letter, obviously there's a number of things that we could do with the letter. I suggest firstly that we should obviously note it and thank Rod for the letter, and I'd also make that public in the via the CCNSO website. The main question for the Council to consider, however, is what, if anything, we do in response to that letter. And I would suggest we have a couple of options. We could, of course, do nothing and just receive it. We could write back to Rod and highlight the work that we've done thus far on sharing business continuity planning and crisis planning. You'll recall presentations that we've had from a number of registries on crises and their experiences, their first-hand experiences of crises too. Or I guess the other extreme would be that we could set up a best practice group on business continuity. I'd be grateful for Councillors' views on those options too.
Leslie, if I may start, this is Roloff.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, as what we should do in a reaction, Rod concretely asks us if we would seriously consider providing this information as a guidance or best practice recommendation. So I think it would be polite to tell him that either we will or we won't. So my suggestion would be that we have to respond to the letter, But I also have a question to my fellow councillors. Is there anybody who knows if the registry had had set phones in the examples that Rod gives in his letter, Haiti, Chile, and New Zealand, and Tunisia, Egypt, and Libya, would access to satellite telephones have solved any serious problem? Because, like Leslie said, we have had presentations in the CCNSO and also in the center community from registries that were struck by natural disasters and things like that, but I've never heard them mentioning that it would be wise to have satellite telephones. I think they were preoccupied with other things than getting on the telephone, but maybe I'm mistaken.
Thank you for that question, Rolla. Keith, I think you're the only councillor from somebody who's had a disaster on the call. Obviously, Hiro, although Japan wasn't mentioned in this letter, you've indeed had the crisis that we're well aware of.
And I think Patricio's on the call too.
Yes, of course.
But from our perspective in New Zealand, the registry was unaffected by the earthquake. The earthquake was in Christchurch, and we're based in Wellington. There was no loss of internet, even in Christchurch, during the disaster in any case. But notwithstanding that, we have had it as a potential requirement for our registry to be, for a couple of people within our registry to be able to be contacted by satellite phone. So it has stirred up that issue for us again, and we probably will do something.
Okay, thank you. Hiro, Patricio?
Hello, this is Hiro. Yes, as to the satellite phones, the satellite phone service is almost not in use in Japan, so we do not depend on the satellite network services. So internet was well work, so it was all right for internet.
Rudolf, this is Peter. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Sorry. The only case that I know where satellite phones would have made a difference is Haiti. They explained that during their presentation in the IGF, and I think also during it was also discussed during the meeting in Nairobi.
And, okay.
Thank you, Peter. Patricio, do you have anything to add?
Leslie Sherling, you know, here.
Hi, Cheryl.
Not wearing my liaison hat, but wearing my director of AUDA hat. Many of us, of course, have satellite phones and all of these things set up as part of our normal emergency response system. So I'll now take off my AUDA director hat and suggest perhaps in answering Rod, if you decide to, we could point out that he's also teaching his grandmother to suck eggs.
Can you hear me? This is Patricio.
Yes, we can hear you now, Patricio.
Oh, thank you. In the case of the Chile earthquake, we really suffered from lack of communications for a day or so. Cell phones just stopped working because of congestion, and then because of lack of electricity when the batteries of the towers ran out. So it took a while for that service to come back. And landlines also were not working at the beginning. So we realized that even though everything else was working, we really have problems communicating within our staff. And we considered purchasing radios so we could communicate by radio. And also we were looking into satellite phones, and we'll probably take that again because we realized that it might be necessary in the future. It's something that you could need very seldom, but when you need it, you would be grateful that you have it.
Okay, thank you. So if I try to pull all of those threads together, think it sounds to me as though there is potential for a letter back to Rod, and maybe this is where I can call on people who hold pens, Becky, to explain that a number of CCs already use such facilities, a number are thinking of such facilities, and in some of the recent disasters, that facility may not have actually helped a great deal. I think it might also be helpful to build into that response that we will publish the letter on the CCNSO website and draw people's attention to it, and the ongoing work that we already have both within the regional organisations and the CC community to share continuity planning and disaster recovery will continue anyway. Is that okay with everybody? Or add or subtract from that, please.
I will circulate a draft, and anybody, and we can get comments.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, Becky. Okay, if everyone's content, let's move on then to the incident response. I knew I was going to muck that one up. The Incident Repository Implementation Working Group, where we are being asked today to approve the volunteers. There's one correction on the volunteer list in that we're obviously so used to Hero volunteering lots that we put him down instead of one of his colleagues, Hitoshi Saito. But with that amendment, can I ask if people are okay with approving those volunteers, please? Mm-hmm. Any objections?
I'm okay with it, Leslie. Okay.
Thank you very much, Rollo. Okay, I'll take that that list as approved then. Moving on then, item 5 is the an update regarding the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. And Keith, I know, has been very active in either accumulating volunteers or suggesting to people that they volunteer. And we have an updated list of people to approve, Keith, which I know has been circulated by email. I don't know if you want to speak to that at all, but also we have had confirmation that the GAC, ALAC, GNSO, and others will also be participating. So from my point of view as chair, it sounds like this group is well on its way to a good start. But perhaps you'd like to update us, please, Keith.
Yeah, thanks, Leslie, and my apologies to the list that I just circulated was not complete either. I must have been half asleep, and forgive me because it is after midnight here. But in addition to the list that I circulated, Hugo Akeri from .ng and Denzel West from .ms. I missed off that list altogether, so if you could add those two names, they were on Gabby's earlier circulated list. GAC representatives appear to be Frank March from New Zealand, Bill D, Jayantha Fernando and Suzanne Fenn. Other liaisons, Cheryl Langdonore from ALAC and GNSO have yet to advise who they will appoint. And I'm seeking our usual staff support of Bart, Gabby and Christina, special support from Bernie and also Kim Davies and Elise from IANA and Yaap Akerhouse, who also was a special advisor to the DRD working group. So that's a fairly large working group, as was the DRD working group, but I think it's better to have all the people that are interested in the topic in the room, so I'm quite happy with the composition.
Thank you very much, Keith. Can I ask, therefore, then, that we move to approve the list of volunteers?
Keith, and Leslie, this is Bart, maybe one addition. Keith didn't mention it, but the chair of the GAC and one of the vice chairs will be on the email list as well, so they know what's happening.
Okay, excellent. Can I move that we approve the list of volunteers then as amended? Do I have any objections, please?
Not for me.
Okay. Let's approve that list and thank very much everyone for volunteering. As I think we are pretty almost all aware, this is going to be quite an onerous working group. We tend not to have any easy working groups, I suggest, but this one particularly, I think, will require quite a lot of dedication from those involved, and thank you very much to everyone for being willing to volunteer to get engaged on that one. Anything further on that from anyone? Okay, thank you. So let's move on then to the next item, which is the JIG final report. As I think we alerted you to at the last call, there was some discussion between Patrick Fulstrom and Edmund Chung on the report as it stood at the time, and Bart will be able to update us on that. It's since been resolved. And also we then need to formally adopt the final report from the JIG working group. Mark, do you want to quickly update us on the discussion?
Yes, the discussion focused on recommendation D of the JIG, so that is around the confusingly similarity between one character TLDs and confusingly similar to ASCII one and two character TLDs, so it's general. It said the confusion at the end of Patrick was that it would be limited only to test the confusingly similarity with one and two letter ASCII TLDs, but it's in the report, and that has been clarified that the general test on, say, all scripts is included as well. So that bit has been resolved.
Thank you very much, Mark. Jan, I don't know if you want to come in here on that or on the final report, because the next item is indeed to ask the Council to approve the final report.
Actually, Leslie, this is Christina. We're trying to reach Jan, so on two different numbers, and we haven't had any luck so far.
Oh dear, that's unfortunate.
Yes, I was just going to email Jan and copy you and see what we can do.
Could we specifically ask her if she has any concerns about the Council approving the final report?
Yes, I can do that.
Thank you.
Leslie, may I add one more point that is a spin-off, more or less, from the discussion between Edmund and Patrick Fulstrom.
Mm-hmm.
Say one of the items that became very clear from that discussion was, say, at what stage should the ASAC be involved in these type of discussion? And that's more general, say, if the working group, or if the CCNSO has a working group that would touch upon security and stability issues, and say that's broader than just the CCNSO, would the ASAC be involved? Normally they advise the board, and as this report, if it's adopted, some of the recommendations will go to the board. It would have been, and unfortunately we could avoid it, that there will be a full discussion in front of the board. So in future, and that's one of the topics that will be discussed as well, and I think between the chairs and vice chairs, is how to involve non-participating SOs and ACs in work of, say, especially joint working groups, so they could share their views on the recommendations, if any.
Absolutely, and I think the greater dialogue between the chairs and vice chairs would hopefully enable us to see that coming a bit more soon, perhaps. But you're right, this issue has particularly highlighted that need. Yeah. Okay, so I'm a little bit worried we haven't got Jan on the call, but I'm not aware that she had any concerns about the final report, and indeed, knowing her, she would have made them very clear to both the Council and myself beforehand. But subject 2, any comments from her. Can I check that the council is okay with adopting the final report? And if we hear anything the contrary from Jan, we'll need to come back to this item, but I'd quite like to clear it now. Everyone okay with doing that?
Sure. I'm fine with that, Leslie. Rulo.
Thank you. Okay, so I move that we approve the final report on single character IDN TLD, subject to any final inputs from Jan. Thank you. Well, let's do that and move on, and perhaps we might hear back from her later. So moving on to item 7 then, which is the other working group update. We have the 2 IDN TDP working groups. But obviously Chris isn't on our call, who's the chair of working group 1. Are there any updates from that working group, please?
Just one. Say there is, as you may recall from the San Francisco meeting, there was a request to the IDN working group 1 to form a sub-working group, and that working group has been initiated and will start working on recommendations. And the plan is to have these recommendations, again on confusing the similarity issues, have them completed by the Singapore meeting for adoption.
Thank you very much, Bart. Anyone has questions on any of these, if perhaps you can come in as we go. Any questions for Bart on that one? No? Okay, so let's move on then to IDN TDP Working Group 2, the chair of which is Hiro. Hiro, are you able to see that?
Yeah, as I reported earlier, IDN CCPDP Working Group 2, the call was held on April 14th, discussing mainly about one vote per territory issue. It is expected that the working group is going to meet the day after tomorrow again to have further discussion based on a revised discussion paper. But do you have anything to add?
No. It's on my plate to produce an update of that report.
Okay, please. Okay, that's all.
Thank you, Hiro. Any questions for Hiro? No? Okay, let's move on then to the SOP working group, the chair of which is Rollo. Rollo?
Sorry, I was on mute. I was already halfway through the response. As you all know, we submitted our comments on the framework on the 3rd of April. So far, we haven't heard anything back from ICANN, and the SLP working group didn't have a conference call since our last council call on the 12th of April. So, apart from that, we are waiting for a response from ICANN on our input. I have nothing to put you up to speed with.
Rulof?
Yes, Bart.
May I add something?
Of course.
There is a call scheduled for the 18th of May, the day after the next iteration of the operational plan and budget is published. That call is with Juan, and I think it has 2 major agenda items. One is to clarify what has been done with the SOP report, and the second one is to clarify and run the SOP through the draft operational plan and budget.
Yes, thank you. That's right.
Thank you, Bob. Okay, so we'll await an update on that when we next meet, then, I suggest. Any other questions for Rolof on that, though? Okay, thank you. So let's move on to the finance working group, the chair of which is Byron Holland.
At this point, I don't have anything further to update. We will be having a call shortly in preparation for the Singapore meeting, but other than that, nothing to update at the moment.
Okay, I'm sure that one will have much more to do shortly. Moving on then to the Joint Security and Stability Working Group, the DSSA. Bart, I think you're down to do an update on that.
Yeah, it's because Jörg is one of the co-chairs. There are two, for the full working group, there are two calls scheduled prior to Singapore. The goal is to have the draft work plan ready by the Singapore meeting, and the co-chairs have been working on a draft already, and they will send out a straw man to this working group shortly or in 2 weeks, well in time for the DSSA. So it's moving ahead steadily.
Okay, thank you very much, Bart. Any questions on that working group, please? No? Okay, let's move on. We're not quite on schedule yet, so we might need to speak a bit more quickly. The next item is the CCNSO review work plan. You will recall that this was circulated for our last call in April, and a number of people were kind enough to admit they hadn't had the time to read it at that stage. So we said that we would bring it forward for this call. This is a draft which, as you can hopefully see, takes each of the recommendations from the CCNSO review and allocates a CCNSO response, a proposed priority, and proposed actions. And what I'd like to do is take us through just quickly page by page to check with all of the council that we are okay with both particularly the priorities and the proposed actions, please. That's all right with everybody. If I start on page 1, which is recommendations 1, 2, and 3, any comments or questions on those, please?
Yes, Leslie, I have one. And it would be on the points 2 and 3 together. Especially mainly on 3, I think, where we have set no action to date. One of the suggestions I would like to make is that we could consider looking for sponsors for translation of documents into certain languages, so that a registry can sponsor the translation of the necessary documents into a single specific language for, let's say, a year. And then after that, you will have to find another sponsor to do that. And that would be then done by professional paid translators, but I think that would be better than trying to get CCNSO members to do the translations themselves.
Okay,
I don't know if this is a viable idea, but we as IDN would be willing to take up such a sponsorship. So for one, or maybe you have to dedicate yourself for 2 or 3 years to pay for the translation of important documents into a particular language of which the CCNSO members who speak that language do not have the means to finance the translation.
Understood. So, as you'd have gathered, these 2 points are around translation of key documents. So if I take what you say in recommendation 3, where one of the proposed actions was to assess willingness of the CCNSO membership to undertake voluntary translation, if we added to that to undertake or sponsor voluntary translation, would that address that point?
Well, it would still make it voluntary translation, and I think it would be better to use translators that I can use so that they know the ins and outs of the sector. You don't have to educate people to what we mean with a particular word or term.
Okay, so I'd missed that point. So that's an or sponsor.
Leslie Rudolph, this is Bart. May I suggest that I took note of this one. I will include it, but at the time if you agree on the priority, say that means that after the Dakar meeting, we'll start really looking into it, that we can start making a more detailed work plan where this suggestion will be part of.
Fine with me.
Thank you. Is everyone else okay with that as well?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take silence as a yes.
Yes.
Thank you. So let's move on to page 2, which is recommendations 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, please. Any comments or questions on those? No? In which case,
nope.
I'll take those as agreed. The next page is recommendations 9, 10, 11, and 12, which continues over to the last page. Any questions or comments on those, please?
I have a question on number 9. That is, do we have any idea what kind of a problem this solution is trying to solve?
If my recollection of the review report serves me right, there was obviously a concern expressed that you might wish to remain on the council forever. that might block other people.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's normal governance best practice to have some churn, if that word translates, on council or board roles, but obviously not enough churn so that nobody knows what they're doing or the collective memory has gone. There's a balance between the two, obviously.
Yeah, and I think that a limit to the number of terms is especially relevant if the board has an oversight role, because then you don't want the relationship between the overseer and the group that is overseeing to become too tight. But okay, anyway, so it has a low or medium priority, and so far we don't foresee to do anything else on it. And I was wondering who is working on number 12?
Can I just take you back to 9, Ronald? So are you content with that priority and action?
Well, I don't think that there is a problem, so I don't think we need a solution either. I don't think it was a good recommendation. That's mainly my point. So I wouldn't give it any priority to limit the number of terms for councillors,
mm-hmm.
because I think that the way it works now works fine.
Okay, thank you. I think the revisit and review isn't necessarily assuming that there will be a change.
No.
We will go back and look at it. And your second question was on 12.
Yeah.
This is the policy roadmap, which in effect, I think, is the draft work plan item 9 on our agenda bar.
Yes, it is.
But is there a working group working on this, or how does it proceed?
If you hang on to that thought just till we get to item 9, you'll see a proposed process under that item.
Okay.
Okay.
I will.
Thank you. Anyone else on the final section of the recommendations, please? Thank you. So can I take it that we are content to adopt the priorities and the proposed responses, please?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll take that.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yes.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you very much. And the second point was to then inform the ICANN Board Structural Improvement Committee of that adoption of work plan and the content. Is that correct, Bart? I think that's
that
point.
So the reason for proposing this is that the say in parallel to the CC&O's own implementation plan, there is a board or there is an ICANN implementation plan, and until now we've been able to dovetail it, and so it would be good that we, as a CC&O, that it informed the board working group or the board, the SIC, I think it's the Structural Improvement Committee, that we've adopted, or the CC&O has adopted this work plan.
Okay, thank you. Then I'm assuming that colleagues are content with doing detail. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to item 9 then, which is the CTNSO draft work plan.
Hi. Hi, Leslie.
Hi.
Hi, Leslie.
Yes?
Hi. Han Chuan here. Sorry to interrupt. I just got a call from Jane, Zhang Jian, that she's requesting for the secretary to call her again. She's able to join the call now.
Okay, thank you, Han Chuan. We'll get her on the call and we'll come back for that to sign a report.
Okay, thanks.
In the meantime, if we can draw our attention to the draft work plan. So thank you very much to Bart for working very hard on producing this rather large draft work plan. Bart and I have a meeting scheduled later on this week to go through this in quite some detail. And you will see, however, the proposed process for the work plan outlined just below in this agenda item. Can I just firstly check if everybody is comfortable with that suggested process, please? Do I have any objections?
No.
No.
This is
Hiro.
I'm fine with that, but may I propose another process? So this is very detailed. So may I propose that for each working group, we will request the working group chair to check the appropriateness of the detailed schedule of the working group described on the table. For example, within 2 weeks or so. How about this?
Yes, that's very helpful. Thank you. That's a very good suggestion. I think the original intention was seeing overall how our work might be panning out, but of course it's necessary that the working groups are comfortable and agree with the summation of their work that's being brought forward into the schedule. Anyone else on the process? Okay, thank you. So can I take you to the detail? Those of you that have very good eyesight, I don't know about the size of your print, but mine seems to become very small type. Is there any feedback on the current draft as it stands, please, Bart? And probably in view of the timeline, I wonder unless there's any large points whether we might ask that councillors kindly email Bart with that feedback. But if there's any showstoppers, then please can I have them now. Okay, thank you. I'll take it from that there's no showstoppers, but we're probably all in shock and awe about the quantity of work that's outlined when you start bringing it all together. Perhaps that's the reason for the stunned silence. So Bart and I will meet on that and update it later this week. Thank you for your suggestion, Hiro. Let's liaise with the working group chairs as well and then bring that back to you in time for it to be finalised, hopefully, on our call in June for presentation at Singapore. Is everyone comfortable with that? Any final comments? Thank you. Let's move on then to item 10, which is the CTNSO website. And thank you to Gabby, I think, and Bart for the paper that we'd asked them to produce on the concept of a closed section. I'm looking for somebody who feels strongly about this issue. Does anyone have particular strength of feeling on this issue? Because last time we were rather quiet on it.
What do you mean with feeling strongly about it? Having a controversial opinion or...?
I'm only looking for somebody with an opinion. That would be useful.
Oh, okay. I have an opinion. I always have an opinion.
I can rely on you, Roloff. What's your opinion, please?
My opinion would be that I would go for option 2 or suggestion 2 or the second the option of the 3 suggestions. That we make a closed section and we use it. We do that in the form of a wiki. And I think you can then again subdivide that closed session you can have a part which is available to all CCNSO members, but nobody else. You can have more closed sections for working groups, because I think, for working groups, and you can have an open wiki session for anybody who wants to discuss with us on a certain item that we put in the open wiki. And there is a suggestion on page 2 where you see some kind of a group which is not a closed group, but it's not really everybody either.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a fourth category for which you create a wiki. But I think we have to realize that that category, as it is described on the top of page 2, it means that it will be open. If you include this group, whatever you do, it will be out of the group. And I don't think that that there is going to be a transparency issue, because the way we work now is that a working group, when it's preparing comments or draft for comments, they will email among each other. So there's also a kind of a closed environment. And then I think it's better to optimize that environment in the form of a wiki. It makes working easier, and it reduces the number of emails we all get.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rodolphe. Do other councillors have views either in support or proposing different options, or in support of different options, please?
This is Yellen here. Oh. Yes.
Please,
I think there. If anybody else wants to speak first, I'm okay with that.
You go first. That's fine. You go first.
Okay. I think that there needs to be a section that is closed, but I like the option B. But if we go with the option B, that should just be used for maybe just the counselors or the working groups that has a certain set certain number of members. Because if we go with a site that is partially open, sometimes open to everyone, not open to, I mean, parts of it open and parts of it not open, that I don't think is going to be a desirable situation. So for anything that we want to share with the rest of the community, that should just go up on the website. Mm-hmm. I don't think that making a difference between CCNSO members and non-members will make that much of a difference, because it doesn't make much. I mean, it will be really hard to limit the non-members to come into the site, and so that's. But I do think that there needs to be a place that we could go to for relevant documents, rather than having to sift through all the non-relevant 95 of my 100 mails are non-significant, and so it's really not easy, right?
Okay, thank you. I think the Secretariat had suggested that if we did go for option D, the criteria for the CCTLD mailing list could be used, which is detailed in that paper. Sorry, Bart, you wanted to come in there?
Yes, I have to say, there are two comments. Say, whatever option this is an add-on to the CCNSO website. So nothing will change there. This is going back to the broader CCTLD community wanting a closed section for themselves to discuss matters. What will we made and what's not touched here, and there's something that Rudolf said, is every working group already has its own wiki. And that is closed for the working group members. So, and that will remain untouched here. This is an additional tool for the CCTLD community, and our suggestion is to use the same criteria as we use for the CCTLD community list.
Understood.
Okay.
So does anyone else have input to make on that, please?
Hey, Leslie, this is Peter. Just two suggestions, basically. In principle, I'm with Rudolf on the choice for option B and the reasons why that option stands out above the others. But just two comments based on lessons we learned at Centre. If there is a closed session, we need to be very transparent on who has access to what type of information. Otherwise, there is actually no point in having a closed session, as people will treat it as an open section on the website. And then secondly, it would be really good if Gabby or Christina could provide us some basic training. I mean, we all work in an IT environment, and we just assume that people are extremely comfortable in uploading and downloading documents and changing things on a wiki page. But the matter of fact is we're not. In the central community, if we have a section in which 20 people have access and can change documents, there is one person that actually does it. And if you figure out what the reasons why they don't, then it's lack of education. So maybe, especially also for the existing wikis, for the working groups, it could be good if there is a screencast or if Gabby or Christina could just give us a 15-minute overview of the possibilities and opportunities that this wiki brings. Otherwise,
hi, Peter, this is Christina.
The investment.
Sorry, this is Christina. We have already talked about this, and we are planning such a training session.
Okay. Excellent. Thanks.
Maybe we could YouTube it so we don't have to repeat it too frequently. Okay, but you made 2 points there, Peter. There was the, I think you were saying, apart from training, you were talking about guidelines as to what's acceptable or not.
Sorry, Leslie. It was about transparency on who has access. So if we have a closed section for a particular group of members or those who subscribe, that everybody who is on that wiki, one of the first things they see is who has access to this page. It's a very basic thing, but it's important, I think.
Okay, thank you.
Leslie, Cheryl here,
if I may. Hi, Cheryl.
Just as one of the beta testing and early adopters of the Confluence Wiki, the training and everything is very important, to have a webinar or something up there. But the Confluence space itself has really, really good help capabilities, but more importantly, AtLarge and ALAC have already put together a very, very basic but quite useful user guide that we've just appended to the left-hand menu side of all of our wiki pages, so people can navigate more easily. It just it's there. It may as well be used, by any part of the ICANN community.
That's very helpful and generous of you, and there's no point spending time in writing our own if somebody's already done that for us, so thank you.
Well, it's only in six languages. I'm sure we can do better.
Okay, so I think I'm not hearing anybody speaking against option C.
Actually, Leslie, Keith here, I wouldn't mind speaking against and expressing a preference for option C. My reason is that this seems to be a solution looking for a problem, but already told us that the working groups already have their private spaces for what they do, and I'm not sure that I've ever seen an expressed need to have anything that should be held in a closed space. So, on the basis that everything that we do eventually ends up being available for open scrutiny, I'm struggling conceptually and philosophically to come to terms with this.
Hmm. I think, Keith, where this originally came from, and Gabby will correct me, I'm sure, if I'm wrong, is the survey on the new website, where of the responses there were six people who indicated they wanted to see some kind of closed section. Without reading too much into that, I think it was a suggestion in order that they could discuss issues where those issues wouldn't necessarily become full-blown public.
It all started with the council who wanted to have some kind of message board function where council could discuss issues. But at that time, there was no solution within ICANN for that. So that's where it all started. And then we did a huge survey on the new website, and this is where people started to drop us hints that they would want to have some kind of closed session section. And then we just did a follow-up survey with a limited number of people where we had 7 replies and 6 of them said, yes, we would like to have a closed section. So this is where it comes from. And Keith, I just wanted to say this was just, you're right, we have these and not everyone is using them. And this is nothing that we would force, you know, people to use either. But we thought that perhaps some people would like to use it, then we would like to have the possibility there to have that option. Doesn't mean that all of the working groups should need it, should use it.
Keith, your view unchanged or?
Fairly unchanged. To do something on the basis of 6 people wanting it seems a little bit over the top. I suppose it's one of those things that, since the Confluence Wiki's already up and running for other purposes, then to add this as a function isn't terribly difficult. I'm just sort of questioning the value and the value proposition of us changing from being open to slightly closed. And where that
Thank
might
you.
Lead us.
Indeed, I have to say personally, given concerns that we have expressed regarding ICANN's transparency, it seems rather the wrong way to go to make us less transparent, perhaps. Does anyone else have views on this issue, please?
This is Bob, just going back to the survey. So one of the main reasons why people indicated they wanted to have this closed section, and if you look at the CCNSO website itself, you will not see email addresses, etc. And people wanted to have a type of closed directory of email addresses where, as a tool to get in touch with others.
Ah, okay. Well, that's quite different from a closed system, isn't it?
Yeah, but they need it so they can access it whenever, say, being part of that community, they could access, and it's part of the description as well.
Okay.
So you use it as a closed repository, and you can build on top of it because you can limit or extend the functionality of a wiki as you want.
Understood. I guess I'd not heard the need for email addresses that aren't public quite as clearly as that beforehand, but though I do acknowledge it was part of the follow-up survey in the paper.
Yeah.
I'm struggling. I think we have 2 people for option B and 2 people for option C at the moment. Can I have other people's views, please? And we do really need to wrap up this one quite quickly.
It's Byron, if I could jump in.
Hi, Byron.
I mean, I certainly appreciate Keith's point of view, and I think no matter which path we take, we need to be mindful. But my sense is that option B is the way to go, to provide a little bit of space to have discussions, in a sense, before they're public ready, for lack of a better term. And that, while I certainly believe in the notion of transparency, and we will and should be doing that, I think having a small space where completely free-range discussions or work can happen before it gets ready for public consumption is not an unreasonable requirement, and hopefully will give people a little more freedom, perhaps, to discuss ideas or have thoughts that they might not feel are fully baked for public consumption, and I wouldn't want to limit that kind of discussion. I think
okay.
Most people here are all reasonable people and will understand and appreciate when if that gets taken too far or abused, and we'll be self-governing on that.
So
I would certainly be in favor of option B.
Thank you, Byron. I'm mindful that we're taking up rather a lot of valuable council time on this issue. I wonder if a possible way forward would be to go for option B for a trial period of 6 months and then review. Or otherwise, then I'm going to pull this item and take it to the next call. cool, I think. Can I just test the water on either taking it to the next call to continue this discussion, or perhaps a trial on option B?
Leslie and Byron, I think that's a reasonable solution. And who knows, maybe we'll find there's no take-up for it, and at which point it'll become a mute discussion. But having a trial, short trial period, I think is a reasonable path forward.
Leslie, this is Fernando. I was wondering if we could have maybe a demo at the next meeting in Singapore. I know everything's here on paper, and maybe sometimes it's a little bit easier to visualize when you actually see it in use.
Mm-hmm. That would fit in with the training suggestion as well earlier, wouldn't it? Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
That suggestion still doesn't quite address my option B or C. Where are you on that?
I would be, I like option B from my perspective.
B says the option C person, would you be comfortable with a trial of option B for 6 months?
I think that's a very sensible way forward.
Okay. In the interest of time, then, everybody, please, can I ask for your tolerance, then we'll try that for 6 months and come back to it again and review.
Leslie, this is Bart.
Mm-hmm.
Just one thing, say, what we've done in this paper is just to lay out the options, say, what we could do is come back before we start implementing it, what types of functionality it will include.
Okay, that would be helpful, Bart, and I think would help allay some of the concerns that
yep.
I'm hearing as well. And in addition, I think if you can pick up and give some further thought to the training and et cetera, that also would be helpful.
Yep.
Thank you for that. Right, the other item on that section of the agenda was biographies of councillors and pictures of councillors. Thank you very much to those of you that have been able to provide one or either or both of those. I had a quick look last night and I still think we have some outstanding. I'm not sure if you're on the call, but if you are on the call and you owe us either a biography or a picture, please do action it very quickly. Otherwise, I will become impatient. I think it's very bad that we don't have a full set on the website as yet. So consider yourself now, and on that let me move to item 11, which is the SSR plan. Hopefully you'll recall an email that was sent that I sent you back on the 21st, and you'll have noticed that the plan is now published. We had agreed a response team to do a CCNSO response. And I believe they had a briefing call, was it yesterday or earlier today? Perhaps Bart will be able to update us.
Yeah, they had a call yesterday, and this working group will start drafting an initial draft. We'll send it to the council and then follow the normal procedure. So it's, and the response, the public comment period will close on the 1st of June. So that's why it was initiated already, in order to have as much time as possible.
Okay, thank you very much for that. So it's my understanding that, obviously, because there's a very short time period to comment, we're organizing a CCNSO response, but of course there's nothing, and we would indeed encourage other CCs to do their individual responses too on that, but a very short timeline. Actually, David, given that we have you on the call, perhaps we could note that does pose some difficulties for people in terms of turning around responses very quickly.
Understand.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else on that one, anyone? We're good? Okay, so let's move on then to the draft agenda for our Singapore meeting, and thank you very much to the program working group for the agenda as it stands. Gabby, Bart, are there any updates or actions you need from the council for this?
No,
That was more for information. The program working group will have a meeting tomorrow, and there is actually a revised agenda already. The main changes that we have been able to put in the IDN session, which was originally scheduled for Monday evening, it's now on Tuesday evening. So that's the only change.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gabby. And obviously, anything that people also think should be on the agenda, if they can feed that back through the program working group, that's most appreciated. So to close then, we have the liaison update. And thank you to Ron Sherwood, who has circulated to the council a number of ALAC statements already. I don't think Ron is on the call. Is Ron on the call, Gabby?
Yes, Ron is on the call.
I'm sorry, Ron. I missed you earlier in my ticking off people on the list. Is there anything in addition you wish to draw the council's attention to?
No. I send stuff as I get it, as you know, and I will continue to do that because I like it to be solid.
Excellent. Thank you. Any questions for Ron then on the at-large liaison? Okay, thank you. I did see if nobody else has. I would note that the ALAC was making what probably are some very similar comments on the operating plan, the financial elements, the financial framework, and I know that Byron's working group are interested in exactly the same thing too. Okay, so item 13.2 is the GNSO liaison, and we have Hang Xuan on the call, and you, yes. I believe, circulated an email earlier on today on that as well.
Yes, that's right. Just to highlight that I think the other time we mentioned about the Catalina board resolution on consumer choice, competition, and innovation. So the GNSO Council is looking at a workshop at the June ICANN meeting, which is happening in Singapore. And ideally, it should include members from CCNSO, since we are mentioned in the board resolution. So Rosemary Sinclair is looking at the setting up this workshop. So perhaps someone from CCNSO may want to get in touch with her to look at CCNSO participation in this workshop.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hang Xuan. Any questions or comments from anyone on the GNSO liaison or the at-large liaison, please? Okay, thank you very much to both of you then. Let me move on to the last item, which is any other business. I haven't had any advance notices of any other business, but does anyone have any, please?
Leslie?
Sorry.
Yes, Hiro?
Yeah, maybe Bart was saying the same thing. It's about the IDN guidelines working group at the ICANN level.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yes. I think Bart can talk about this more appropriately than me.
Yes, I will, Hiro. Just recently I've been approached by Naila Sarres, who's taking on some responsibilities of Tina Dunn as the overall IDN manager for ICANN. One of the items that she's dealing with is an update of what is called the IDN guidelines. This is an ICANN working group, and the CCNSO participated in the past. Hiro and Mohammed participated, and she requested whether to the CCNSO, whether these two, say Hiro and Mohammed, were still or should be still considered to be the members of that working group, because they want to reconvene to update the IDN guidelines to align it with the IDNA protocols and RFCs.
Okay, thank you, Bart. Could you just clarify for myself and for the other councillors, was that working group actually closed or did it remain as a standing working group?
It remained open, but it was, say, dormant. So in that sense, he wanted to a reconfirmation that Hero and Mohammed are still the CCMSO members.
Okay, so we have reawoken that working group, and the original members are content to remain on the working group. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, to my knowledge, say, and that's been confirmed, Mohammed and Hero are willing to remain on the working group.
Okay, thank you. Is it planned to also call for any new members to join that group? Please.
No, it will be the same group of people. So either we do a full call for volunteers, or the council could reaffirm the two members already on the existing working group.
Okay, I'm just thinking on my feet, but two members of a working group does sound like rather a small number of people.
Yeah, but it's a small. The CCMSO had only two members of that working group.
So how about the course of action? We confirm the members of that working group and also place a call if anyone else wishes to join?
I need to check with Naila how many seats the CCMSO has on that working group. To my knowledge, it's only two.
I'm missing that. I think we're all missing that bit of information, Bart. So thank you. So the action then is to the council to reconfirm that we're content with those people remaining on the reawoken working group. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Really.
Okay. Can I ask if there are any objections to that then, Steve?
Can I just have a clarification?
Yes,
Mrs. Youngham? Yeah, and so I know Hero was willing. Is Mohammed also willing? If they are, I agree with the proposition.
It's
yes,
my understanding.
Yes. Yes. I contacted him, and he's willing. He was with the .sd, and now he is with .qa, so he's still an CCTLD member.
Okay.
And willing.
Are you comfortable with that, Youngham?
Yes, very comfortable.
Thank you. Any comments from anyone else? Thank you. We'll consider that done. Any other items of other business, please?
Leslie, I just want to say something. That's that my laptop has crashed, so I'm without a laptop, and I will not be able to reply to emails until I get a replacement, just so you know.
Sympathy, Gabby, we've all been there, and it didn't show, so
well done. Leslie, Cheryl here, if I could just have a moment.
Yes, indeed.
Hi.
Thank you, Leslie. Just to underscore something that Han was saying in his GNSO liaison report, and to perhaps encourage volunteers to come forward for that consumer confidence panel in Singapore, the reason that CCNSO member contribution is so important is that part of the work would be to, from that panel and from what the board has asked, a cross-community group to look at is even establishing what the definitions are of consumer and indeed consumer confidence in terms of ICANN, and certainly as part of the DNS community, the CCTLD operators probably have the closest nexus with what we would consider their internet end user community than we would find in many other parts of the ecosystem. So to get some of the real experience that the CCTLD members could bring forward would be of great benefit at these early stages. Thank you.
Okay, Cheryl. Duly noted, understood, and we will indeed make sure that we are engaged in that. Thank you very much for highlighting that. Anything else from anyone?
I believe Changxin is on the Jane is on the call, but I don't think anyone can hear her.
I think you are indeed correct. Yes. Did we get anything from her Jig final report?
Yeah.
Gabby or Hong Kong?
Yeah, Yeah, she wants to give a report, but she's in the call, but she says that when she talks, nobody can hear her. So is she put on mute?
No, she's not muted. The static is from her line.
Okay,
hello?
Yeah, that's what I told her to. Can you hear her, right?
We can just about hear you, Dran.
Hello? Could you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Could you hear me now? This is Jan.
Yes, Jan,
hello?
We can hear you.
Okay, finally, sorry. Okay, I don't know, you already talked about the chat, the chat report, or cartoon report, or not. But do you want me to talk about it?
Dick, we've already covered the Dick Fine report, and you're on a very, very weak line. We've approved it, subject to you telling us, hopefully, that you have no problems with that approval. If you could just indicate
yes or no,
that would be really helpful. No problem with that.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm sorry about that. You know, it's just my call is just keeps dropping, so, you know, it's very unstable. And after a while, I could hear you, but I couldn't speak. Even without my report, you approve that.
we have indeed, and thank you very much for your efforts to try to join the call.
Okay.
So I think that's our last item. I think that's our last item, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for your continued attention and presence on the call. And we'll see you next month.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
I'm so sorry about that.